Well, instead of beginning a new series this evening and then have it interrupted with 2 weeks of special speakers here, thought it would maybe be best to have a one-shot, you know, no series, just one-shot sermon. And Psalm 119, 105, no doubt is familiar to us. But your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Just notice briefly, and by way of introduction, we have the means by which direction is given. Lamp, light. The Word of God is both a lamp and a light to us. That's the means by which direction is given. What are the objects for which direction is given? My feet, my path. It is of use to us by day or night. In all conditions, all seasons of life, in adversity, prosperity, all the conditions through which we pass in this world. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. One of the wonders of the ancient world, kind of the seven wonders of the ancient world, was the lighthouse at Alexandria. North Africa, right near the Nile River, and my thoughts were directed there. A lighthouse that was built there that the height of it was well beyond any football field we might have in our day, including both end zones. A lighthouse, no electricity, of course, but they had at the top, they had a bronze mirror where, of course, it was useful in the daytime on cloudy, you know, stormy days. But at night, what they would do was build a bonfire up there and set the bronze mirror on the back side of it so that it would flash out into the Mediterranean so ships could get their bearing and find safe harbor instead of running on the shoals or into some other objects. But again, it reflected daylight in the daytime and was a fire lit at night. I thought that was helpful to me, illustration of your word is a light to my feet, so forth. From this passage, I want to expand it just a bit and see a couple of different things. First of all, clear direction. Secondly, conscientious conviction. Then thirdly, cheerful comfort. So let's look at these. First of all, the Word provides clear direction to us. It shows us the right way to the end of our journey. You know, the end of our journey is eternal life in Christ. And that to be enjoyed in heaven in His immediate presence. Proverbs 6, verse 23 says, the commandment, you know, kind of a singular, but any command that God gives, the commandment is a lamp and the teaching a light. God disperses the darkness, scatters the shadows by what He says. In Psalm 43, verse 3, the psalmist prays, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. The Word of God gives clear direction. And without it, we but wander in life with many uncertainties. Clear direction. Notice secondly, it also provides conscientious conviction. It is a light that convinces us of our errors and mistakes. Ephesians 5, verse 13 and 15 read, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. He says, look carefully then how you walk. Look carefully how you walk. The Word of God as a lamp and light provides conscientious conviction in two ways, at least. First of all, by way of prevention. You know, don't do this. If you go there, bad things will happen. The Word of God shows us the dangers in life. The pitfalls, the cliffs, the stumbling blocks. I grew up as I began to hunt in Bankhead Forest when I was 7. And my dad would walk me to the stand and leave me. And then he'd come get me right before dark. And so he said, Michael, don't wander around. You know, not only are there other hunters, but the main thing, this is North Alabama. You know anything about that place and hunting there in the forest, you know there are lots of stills. And he did not want me walking up on a moonshine still by myself. So he said, Michael, if you ever walk up on one, just walk back. Just walk away. Don't go near it. Other occasions there might be. At one time there were a lot of homes in what's now Bankhead Forest, log cabins. And you know what they would always dig? A well. So there was another danger. Don't go on those old home places, and especially don't go near a still. That was my dad's counsel. But the Word of God is much broader than that with worrying about stills and wells. 1 John 2, verse 10 and 11 says, he that abides in the light, abides there in the light, has no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going. Why? Because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Again, the point here is that the Word of God brings a conscientious conviction to us by way of prevention. What not to do. Okay? But also, a second way that it lends conscientious conviction is that by way of reproof or rebuke. It shows us our sins in full color. Okay? Even our secret sins that cannot be found out without any other light. God exposes the meditations of our hearts, the wandering thoughts of our minds, the things that we daydream about. Oh, if only. Those are made plain and clear. And the Lord then brings reproof regarding those things. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13 reads that, for the Word of God is living and active. You're familiar with that passage, but notice it says discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And that idea of discerning is from a root meaning to judge what's right, wrong, good, bad, wise, foolish. The Word of God, living, active, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. And on those occasions, it brings reproof, conscientious conviction by way of reproof. So there's the clear direction it gives, the conscientious conviction. Notice with me, thirdly, cheerful comfort here. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 7 reads, light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. It is a pleasant thing to see the light. I don't know about you. I'm an early riser. I like to get up early. Great days, I get up and watch the sun come up. Oh, it's wonderful. So the Word of God is in this sense. It brings relief in all the dark and gloomy passages of this present life. I want to mention two conditions where it brings cheerful comfort. The first one is that of outward darkness. Just that we feel it in our lives. David writes in familiar Psalm 23, verse 4, Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you're so big and brave and tough. No, you're with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me even there in that frightful place. Now, we know rods and staffs were the universal instruments of shepherds. Human shepherds. How much more our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. His rod and his staff are his word and spirit. The instruments, again, of the true shepherd for our lives. Now, these comfort us, according to Psalm 23, especially in that darkest place of life, the valley of the death shadow. They provide comfort there. But even expanding it, even in our confusions, when decisions are made and they're very costly, they must be made and we're reluctant. Sometimes on other occasions, we simply don't know what to choose. Which is best? Lord, help me, direct me, please. In our confusions, in our difficulties, when we have nothing left but the promises of our good shepherd. Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we have no need to fear evil. Why? Because he's with us. He's with us. Cheerful comfort, then, in outward darkness. But a second time where there is cheerful comfort by the word of God is in inward troubles. Inward troubles. Now, these may arise from guilt of sin or lack of sense of God's love. I know the Puritans often wrote about this, and I don't know of any writers in our day that it's where it's even mentioned, but where God sovereignly withdraws the sense of his love. Puritans often wrote about that, where God of his own wisdom, love for his child, withdraws from his child a sense of that love. How dark can that be? Inward trouble. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 10 says, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant?" What do you do? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light do what? The Christian who walks in darkness and has no light do what? Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Even then, even in those seasons of life that are particularly dark, maybe our best friends have no idea about it. Maybe we don't want to tell them about it. But what's the counsel? Trust in the name of the Lord and rely on God. What are we to do but in those seasons? But to depend upon promises that God made. We were familiar with them from our past, and they brought us life and light then. We pray that they will now. The Word of God is a great part of His name. When we walk in darkness and have no light, that is our place of comfort and direction. Well, there's our clear direction. A conscientious conviction by way of prevention and reproof. Cheerful comfort in outer darkness and inward troubles. I want to close by focusing our attention on the one who is the light of the world. Okay. In John 8, Jesus again spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world." You know, I would imagine that the lighthouse at Alexandria was a wonder to all that saw it, to all the sailors that were helped into a safe harbor in a dark night. And that was useful, but very limited, only for a few. Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Whoever follows me, he says, will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus is so bold as to proclaim himself as the light of the world. Now, these certainly imply, his words imply that the world needs light and is naturally in a dark condition. So Jesus declares himself to be the only remedy, the greatest remedy. He is risen like the sun at daybreak, scattering the darkness, spreading light and life and love in the midst of a dark world. He invites all that want life, that want light, come to him. Come to him and embrace him by faith as Savior and Lord. What a gracious invitation he gives us. His servant, John, would begin to conclude the last book of the New Testament, Revelation, chapter 22, verse 5, with these words. The day will come when night will be no more. They will need no lamp, no light, no sun. Why? For the Lord God will be their light, and they, his children, will reign forever and forever. Amen. All right. Well, you join me for prayer. Lord, please grant that we who are called by your name may walk in the light and by faith embrace and rely upon the Lord Jesus, who is the light of the world. And we ask in his name, amen.